الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala says, in the instances of the righteous and the pious, the obedient servants of Allah Ta'ala, there is lot of ibrat, lot of lessons to learn for the people of intelligence. If we have intelligence, we will take these lessons and we will imbue them in our lives, bring them into our lives. One such very great person in the annals of Islam is Hazrat Sa'id ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great, great Sahabi, ranks of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, close associate of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and a person who had that position that he could give advice to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Allah Ta'ala says they are great lessons for us to learn. So in all this, let us take these lessons. He made nasihat, advice, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and from that we can gauge who he must have been, who it is who will then go and give advice to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and what pertinent advice also. It is great, great lessons for each one of us to listen, to learn and to practice. The first advice he said, O Umar, in the rights of Allah Ta'ala, do not fear people. For fulfilling the rights of Allah Ta'ala and what Allah wants us to do, don't worry what people will say. They will criticize, they will mock, they will pass all types of comments. Don't be worried about that. And with regard to the rights of the people, fear Allah. Whatever the rights of people are, it is easy to override the rights. Especially for a person who is the Khalifatul Muslimin, the person who is in charge, the superior, it's very easy for him to override the rights of the people under him. So he said, with regard to their rights, fear Allah. Many are such that they can't say anything. They are poor people, weak people, women, children, they can't come claim their rights also. They don't even know the law. They don't know where to go also. Nobody will listen. Fear Allah. Allah is watching. So with regard to us also, our wives, our children, nobody might know. Whoever is working under us, they can't do anything. But Allah is watching. And very fearful it is for that husband who does not fulfill the rights of his wife, treats her in a bad way, and she turns around and turns to Allah for her help. That person, that man is in great danger. When Allah's help will come, then he will be in very great problems. So the first advice he gave to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that with regard to the rights of Allah, don't fear people. What they will criticize, what they will say, and find out what are the rights of Allah, and that is what you must do. Today, normally, if any matter comes about in the home, business, whatever, in our jamaat work, in the madrasa, anywhere, in the khanka, anywhere, then normally we will think, akal ki ghore chalat dorate hai. We let the horses of our brains run now. In other words, we use our brains, where that is the work of the kuffar. And the animals also use their brains. We must immediately, what is Allah's command in this matter? What does Allah say in this matter? But we seldom think of that. We think of our dunya's expediency, our experience, my know-how, my context, how can I sort this matter out? We don't think, I must turn to Allah, and what is Allah's command in this matter? Then we will think that what will the people say? If we have to do, we know what is the right thing, but if we're going to do it, what will the people say? What will be the backlash? What will be the result of it as far as dunya is concerned? And we don't think that we are doing something against the law of Allah. We minus Allah from the equation completely, as though Allah does not exist. We put Allah one side. as though Allah has got no power. We worried of the people and the tongues of the people. And we don't worry of how Allah, if He has to take us to task, what it will be. And we are fooled by the clemency, the mercy, the imhan, the rope Allah gives us. We think that, that we can do what we want to. It should not be the case at all. The second advice He gave to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, let your words and your actions correspond. Don't let it be that you say something else and your actions are something else. Where the actions don't correspond to the words, those words have no effect. They are not accepted by Allah also, and they have no effect on anyone. So, though there is detail in this, it doesn't mean that if a person cannot and must not command what is the right until he is perfect himself. No, we must say what is right, and where we are lacking, we ask for forgiveness. And we don't give the impression that I am very pious and I am telling you that we ourselves are in need. And as Alhamdulillah, many of us got the habits to say, I am weak, I am faulty, but we say what is the right thing. It doesn't mean that because, and we can never be 100% perfect, so that means we must never command the right. No, that is not the case at all. In the ayat, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ You're commanding the people to do right, and you forget yourself. Haven't you got brains? Why don't you use your brains? Or am I explaining here? It doesn't mean you must stop doing the right. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ is a command also for everyone, even if we are not perfect. We can't wait till we are perfect. We have to command what is the right and forbid what is the wrong. But we don't do it in that way as though I am perfect. We realize I am weak, but still I have to do my duty. If a father is a smoker, he doesn't stop his children from smoking, he's doing a double wrong. He's smoking himself and he's not stopping them. If he's smoking, he must still stop them from smoking. And he is, by the barakat of that, it's very well envisaged that he will also give up smoking when he will tell them the harms of smoking. All the wastage of money, health that is destroyed. Malaika don't come to a near person who is smelling like that. Then it is very, very greatly hoped he himself will stop also. So the second advice he gave Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that let your words and your actions correspond. The third advice he gave to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that consider all those who are under you, who are near you and far from you. All, you are the Khalifatul Muslimin, and your duty, and what a duty, you must be aware of what's happening. How can one person be aware what's happening? And at that time, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was controlling 2.25 million square miles. Not kilometers, 2.25 million square miles was under his rulership. For him to know everyone, like that lady who came and she was in the desert and she had no food for her children, etc. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he came to know, and he asked her, then she said that she's going to the office of the Amirul Mu'mineen and complain that he doesn't keep, he doesn't check on us. So he said, how can he know? He is there. He said, when he's the Amirul Mu'mineen, he's supposed to know our condition. And what an effect, not only on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on his actions also. How he went and cooked the porridge and food for them, and how he fed them. So he said, and by far and near, physically also, people are far from the capital Medina Sharif. Where and where, till right till Morocco, etc. Right till where, this side in the east, in the north, in the south, Islam is spread. So to know, keep yourself aware. With all your deputies, all the governors, etc., keep an eye and watch everyone. And it also means far and near, who are close to you, your relatives. And those who are far, who are not your relatives. Don't only consider your relatives and your friend and your associate as far as all the matters of deen, the matter of the khilafat is concerned. Those people who are not even your family, who are not even Arabs, Islam is spread to the non-Arabs, the Ajamis also. They are all Muslims, and the common factor of connection is Iman. It's not being an Arab or being any of any other nationality or being any family ties, but it is of Iman. Then he told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu a fourth advice. What you love and desire for yourself, your family and your children, desire the same for all who are under you. In the whole Islamic Khilafat, the whole Islamic world, what you desire for yourself, your family, your children, deen-wise, dunya-wise, desire that for each and everyone. And what you dislike for yourself, and for your family and your children, dislike the same for everyone. Like, for example, you wouldn't like your children to smoke, etc., to be on drugs, etc., dislike the same. And as you will make effort for your children, make the effort for the whole ummah. And then, fifthly, he told Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hasten always to the pleasure of Allah. Be eager. Sari'u ila maghfirati min rabbikum. So rush towards the happiness and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And in that, don't worry what the people will say. You be keen and desirous that what is Allah's hukam at any time, I must do that. Whatever the people will say, whatever comments people will make, don't worry of that. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, who can do this? These are such heavy advices you are given. Who can do that? Hazrat Sayyid ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, you can do it. When Allah has chosen you as our Amir, then you can do it. And you must do it. You have to do it. And he said also, that person can do it who has got nobody between him and Allah. So that is an effort that we must make. There must be nobody between us and Allah. Not our nafs also. That is what is called tazkiyatu nafs. To remove our nafs between us and Allah Ta'ala. Remove your wife and your children between you and Allah Ta'ala. Don't satisfy them and you displease Allah. All the people in the world, the remarks they make, the comments they make, they must be out. It must be you and Allah Ta'ala. So that is also a heavy thing. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, I'm appointing you when you are giving so good advice. I'm appointing you the governor, the khalifa of Hams, which was in Syria. So he said, please don't put me to try. It's a very difficult job. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became angry on him and told him this was the close bond and relationship they had, that you people put the whole khilafat responsibility of khilafat on me, and now you don't want to help me in doing it properly. I will make sure that you take this responsibility. So he forced him to take the responsibility. He didn't fight for elections to become the governor. He was forced to become. And today is completely opposite. People who are least capable are fighting. And all their campaigning is lying and lying and lying. And all false promises, etc. What a difference of Islamic Khilafat and what we call a democracy. And so sad that Muslims support a democracy. Muslim countries are running as democracies instead of the Khilafat's example. If that was the case, what a different picture there will be. And we must make dua for that and effort for that also. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, must I fix a provision for you, your salary? So he said, no, it's not necessary. So he went, he started doing his governorship there in Hims. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu told some people to prepare a list of the poor people of Hims. So they prepared and they sent it to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. To his utter amazement, he saw Amirul Mu'mineen's name also on the list.
of the poor people in the country, the state president's name is also there. The president, the prime minister's name is also, he says, he also poor. He says, for many days, the fire doesn't burn in his house. There is no food to be prepared. So poor he is. So that was the qualities that they have. Then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent 1,000 gold coins. Like in our times, Kruger rands. 1,000 Kruger rands. What will that amount to roughly now? How much is a Kruger rand? 40,000. 1,000. So 40 million. So much he sent. When it came to him and he saw it, that this has come here, he took his stick and he pushed it away. And loudly he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. His wife came running, she asked, what has happened? Amirul Mu'mineen passed away. He said, no, worse than that has happened. Worse than that, what could it be? The Mujahideen, Jamaat, the army of the Muslims, went and they were defeated. They were overpowered. No, worse than that also happened. What can be worse than that? He says, dunya has come to destroy my akhirat, to spoil my akhirat. And today, what is our attitude? We are so covetous of dunya, of the money of dunya, and they were so frightened for dunya that they didn't want it near them. Then his wife told, let me help you to get rid of it. How? Then, usually the woman no more. There are these widows here. There are those orphan children there. There are those poor children there. So in that way, they distributed everything. Of all that money, 1,000 Kruger rands in our time, you can say, they distributed it. After some time, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Hims himself and inquired from the people that how is your Amirul Mu'mineen, your leader, your Khalifa, how is he? They said, very good, but we have got 4 complaints about him. The one is, he comes out to attend to our matters very late in the morning. The second is, he doesn't attend to us at night. Only during the day he gives us time, at night he doesn't give us time. The third is that once a month he doesn't come out at all. Whole day he doesn't come out. And the fourth is, from sometimes, occasionally, he falls unconscious and he's like in a bad condition health-wise. He's unconscious. So the Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Sayyid ibn Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu these complaints about you. What have you got to say? What are you replying? He said that we don't have a maid, a worker in the house. We don't keep, we can't afford also. So I have to help my wife with the housework. As the Amirul Mu'mineen, he's doing housework. Therefore I go out late after I see the kindness to his wife. The housework is the wife's work, but he helps her doing that. There also we should think, if ever we help our wives in any housework, and today wives mostly don't do any housework themselves also. All the maids are doing, and one household today has got how many maids to work? It is, this is not at all in keeping in line with as we are coming here and we want our tazkiyah and closeness to Allah Ta'ala, this lifestyle of ours of so many maids, there is no justification for it. There is no reconciliation between the two. The two are completely different. He as the Amirul Mu'mineen, he should say, I have to help my wife doing the housework. Then he said that they say you don't see to them at night, to their needs, etc. He says, I've divided my day and my night. My day I devote to them, see to all their needs. My night I've given to my Allah. And therefore, at night, it's me and my Allah. And at that time, I don't want anyone to come. It's my seclusion with Allah Ta'ala. So that is also a very important aspect that we have to develop, to have the time that we devote to Allah Ta'ala. And our contact is only with Allah Ta'ala. There also, if we think, we hardly got such time that we have devoted to Allah Ta'ala. And in that time, we don't have anything to do with anyone. It's only between us and Allah Ta'ala. then the third thing that they say, once a month you don't come out at all. He says, I only have one pair of clothes. So once a month I wash my clothes, I have to wait till they dry, etc., everything. Then I can wear them and then I'm ready to come out. So my whole day passes like that. And we should think, we who take 2-3 showers a day, and yeah, once a month he baths, he washes his clothes, etc. Today our object we have made, our physical body. And these things here, we will find fault with them. That the na'uzubillah, they are not clean. We are very clean. And our cleanliness is not even skin deep. It's just the top of the skin which we are worried. And that also, not we are, how many of us, we are worried of so much paaki, but we are so much cleanliness, but we are still napak. Our istinja is not right. Our wuzu we don't make right. Our ghusl is not right. We are just worried of outward cleanliness, and then we sit very quickly with our vanity bags. And then all the soaps, the shampoos and the creams and all that comes out. And that we are worried about. But to worry about the ruh, the soul, paaki, purity, cleanliness, that we don't even pay any attention. Then he said that occasionally you fall unconscious. What's the reason for that? What is that matter? He said that when I was a non-Muslim, a mushrik, sir, and I hadn't accepted Islam. One Sahabi, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was being tortured by the kuffar and they killed him, they assassinated him, made him shaheed. At that time I did not help him. And that worries me, why didn't I help him? Though he was a non-Muslim. And this is the quality of a mu'min, that when we think of our gunas of the past, we have made zulam on somebody, we didn't help somebody where we could help them, but today we don't even worry about it. And in fact, we talk proudly about the wrong that we do, how we make zulam on people. So many of us, it's an achievement, the zulam that we make on people. How we rob people in business deals, how we did them down, and that is our accolades, that is our achievements, that is our attitude. Whereas he, when he was a mushrik, and he did not help him, it worries him so much that he falls unconscious. So like that, our gunas of the past, whatever they were, any and all the types of gunas which each one of us was involved in. And we know our gunas, forget becoming unconscious, forget one tear drop coming out. At least some sorrow, sadness, and at least some tawbah, istighfar, and ask Allah Ta'ala not to take us to task for the wrongs that we have done. He is, when you accept Islam, all your past gunas are forgiven. So all that was forgiven, but still, how conscious he was of it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu then made shukr to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, you guided me to put the right person in this position. And you did not let me be, today I'm not sorry for having put him there. So this is the quality. And these are the sifat which this great man had in them. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ In their stories, in their lives, there is great ibrah. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لَكُمْ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ If we have any intelligence, so we can measure our own intelligence also. If we take a lesson from there, and not just to know and talk and hear about it, but it comes in our lives, that will be, we can measure our own intelligence. Whether we have got, today unfortunately, intelligence is defined as to know how to rob people, how to do them down. A good, intelligent politician who knows how to lie. And that lie, he comes up with lies and lies, or false promises. No, not that. But the proper, the people who are ulul albab, the people of intelligence, they will take great lessons from this. And that will mean that we will change our lives accordingly. And this is one story of one great Sahabi. And the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were not 124,000, much more than that. And each one They عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين ما أنا عليه وأصحابي خير القرون. The best of times, that what I'm on and my Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the Tabi Tabi'een, these periods which were the greatest period, the time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the Tabi'een, the Tabi Tabi'een, those were the great, great people. Today, unfortunately, it's so common with us. One side, our namazes are also on place. Our rozas on place, umrah we never miss also. And all other acts of piety also we do. But at the same time, one kafir soccer player is my hero of my life also. Some cricket player, some film star, some other sports or some other dancer or singer, he is my hero. Where can that go together? And we hardly got any idea of the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and their great achievements. Muhammad ibn Qasim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the age of 17, he goes and conquers Sindh. When the complaint of the woman of Sindh in India, Pakistan comes, that there is a lot of zulm that is being done to us. And he is the son of the notorious king, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. He goes there and he relieves them. And he takes them out of the clutches of all the oppression and wrong. A 17-year-old boy. And today, our 17-year-old, what are we involved in? And what are we engaged in? So we should take lessons from these people. All the other great, the Fatih, the conqueror of Istanbul, and the Quran had declared Ghulibati Rome, that Rome, that was at that time Constantinople, which is the present day Istanbul, that it will be conquered by the Muslims. And how long time had passed, very many centuries passed, and many people tried, that they wanted that great honor, that who the Quran is referred to, that the Rome will be conquered by the Muslims, that they wanted honor, I must have that honor. But they all failed. But finally, when Muhammad Fatih, and how Allah blessed him, and it's very, very necessary, if we have any feeling for ourselves, we'll go and study this. Yeah. How this occasion, and how he conquered it, and it is really so dramatic. Today, unfortunately, the non-Muslims draw their military intelligence. They draw lessons from there. How he had fought and conquered Istanbul, which was an impossible thing. And the way they had protected it, and they also, on the other hand, is for us to see. They also saw the Quran Sharif said, it is going to be conquered. And they determined it will not be conquered. And all the security they had put, it was mentally, logically, logistically, it was impossible to conquer it. But how he conquered it, that was also the great power of Allah, the great mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And then finally, on the morning of the, when he conquered it, the heavy battle that ensued, when they reached right to what is known as Hagia Sophia today, the great cathedral it was, and where they, all the church, the cathedral things, and where they came in at Fajr time, and by Zohar they gave Azan, and they made Zohar Namaz there. And then the whole of Europe opened up to the Muslims. And how Islam spread there. This was all in these great, great people from whom we must take inspiration. And we must take lesson. And it is for Ulul Albab. And to always also see then further, when dunya became rife, prevalent, and became the object of the Muslims, how once more they went right down. And today again, we are promoting all this, the dunya, to become scientists, to become doctors, lawyers, engineers. All that brought the downfall of Islam. As long as the Muslims practiced on deen, they kept on rising. But when they went into dunya, though it's not prohibited, there are many things we don't just see what it is haram or what is halal. In the house, the husband is the he's not, the wife is not responsible to cook or anything. But the system Islam has made is that the wife looks after the house. The husband must go out and cook, earn. Today the husband also is going out to earn. Wife is also going out to earn. And the house is neglected. And when the house is neglected, the whole core of society is neglected. If the children are neglected, the house is neglected, everything is neglected. And the condition comes, the husband and wife hardly meet one another. They're just messaging one another. It was first on the fridge, now just on the phone. You do this, you do that. The wife is meeting hundreds of other men every day. The man is meeting hundreds of other women every day. And they don't even have time. They build the house and they made the house a lavish thing they made of the house. But they neglected themselves. The house they made and they have no home. There is no homely life. There is no homeliness in the woman. They made the house everything, but they got no home. And they made the everything else, but they themselves are nothing. They made effort of making everything, but they didn't make effort on themselves. Things got value, they lost all their value. What human values they are, all those values they lost. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand and follow in the righteous, right, great people and bring that into our lives. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.